Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Ages of American Capitalism by Jonathan Levy offers a sweeping, interpretive history of the United States told through the changing meanings and mechanisms of capitalism. Rather than treating markets as a timeless backdrop, Levy follows the nation through distinct eras in which Americans organized economic life around different ideas of value, risk, credit, and power. The book connects major political events, social conflicts, and technological transformations to shifts in finance, property, labor systems, and corporate labor systems and corporate organization. It highlights how public institutions and private enterprise continually shaped each other, from early experiments in nation building and banking to industrial expansion, modern consumer society, and the rise of a finance-centered economy. By framing capitalism as a set of evolving arrangements, the narrative explains why familiar features of American life, such as mass production, homeownership, pensions, and globalized corporations, emerged when they did and at what cost. The result is a big-picture account that links everyday economic experience to long-run national change. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, capitalism as a political project, not a natural condition. One of the book's central contributions is its insistence that American capitalism was built through contested choices, laws, and institutions rather than simply unfolding from barter into markets. The story foregrounds how governments created the conditions for private accumulation by defining property rights, enforcing contracts, building infrastructure, chartering banks and corporations, and managing money. In this view, capitalism is inseparable from state capacity and from political struggles over who benefits from growth and who bears its risks. Levy also emphasizes that Americans repeatedly debated what economic freedom meant, whether it was the freedom to own property, to compete, to labor without coercion, or to be protected from instability. That debate produced shifting coalitions and policy regimes, from early national finance experiments to later regulatory frameworks. The topic clarifies why crises mattered as turning points, panics, depressions, and wartime mobilizations forced new rules about credit, taxation, and public obligations. Reading the narrative through this lens helps readers see elections, court decisions, and administrative innovations as core economic forces. It also explains why capitalism in the United States developed unevenly across regions and groups, since political power shaped access to land, credit, and legal protections. Secondly, from land and slavery to industrial expansion and corporate power, Levy traces how early American wealth relied heavily on land, extraction, and coerced labor, and how those foundations set the stage for later industrial growth. The expansion across the continent was not only a demographic and military process, but also an economic reordering that tied property, settlement, and speculative finance together. The book links plantation slavery to broader capitalist development by showing how it connected to credit markets, trade networks, and the production of staple commodities. As the 19th century progressed, industrialization transformed the logic of accumulation. Railroads, factories, and urban labor markets required large fixed investments, managerial coordination, and new forms of corporate organization. This era encouraged the rise of big enterprises that could command capital at scale and reshape competition. Levy highlights how corporate consolidation changed the balance between producers, workers, and consumers, and why public responses emerged through antitrust politics, labor movements, and regulatory experimentation. The topic illuminates how industrial capitalism created both unprecedented productivity and recurring conflicts over wages, working conditions, and democratic accountability. It also shows the cultural shift from a society oriented around ownership of land and tools toward one oriented around wage labor, corporate employment, and mass markets. Thirdly, the architecture of modern finance, credit, risk, and the business cycle, a recurring theme is that American capitalism depends on systems that translate future expectations into present action, especially through credit. Levy treats finance not as a separate sector, but as a core mechanism that enables expansion while also generating vulnerability. Banks, securities markets, insurance, and later central banking structures are portrayed as tools for reallocating risk and mobilizing savings, with profound consequences for households and firms. The book explains why the business cycle became a defining feature of modern economic life and how Americans attempted to manage it. Financial innovations could democratize opportunity by widening access to borrowing and investment, yet they could also concentrate power and amplify instability. The narrative pays attention to how information, trust, and regulation shaped credit creation, and how crises exposed the limits of prevailing arrangements. As industrial capitalism matured, the need to coordinate investment and stabilize money pushed the country toward more sophisticated financial governance. This topic helps readers connect everyday phenomena such as mortgages, consumer credit, and retirement savings to larger structures of balance sheets and asset values. It also clarifies why debates about speculation, leverage, and moral hazard recur across centuries, often resurfacing when prosperity makes risk feel distant. Fourthly, consumer society and the reorganization of everyday life. Libby shows that capitalism changed not only how goods were produced, but also how Americans lived, spent, and imagined security. As productivity increased and distribution networks expanded, mass consumption became a central driver of growth. This shift depended on rising wages for some workers, new retail systems, advertising, and the normalization of buying on credit. The book situates household life within broader economic strategies, explaining how durable goods, automobiles, suburban housing, and lifestyle branding help stabilize demand and absorb industrial output. It also emphasizes the institutional supports that made consumer capitalism sustainable for a time, including public investments, labor contracts, and social insurance arrangements that reduced insecurity and encouraged spending. Yet the benefits were unevenly distributed, with sharp divisions by race, gender, region, and occupation shaping who could access home ownership, education, and stable employment. The topic underlines how consumer society created new forms of dependence. Families became tied to wages, prices, interest rates, and employer-provided benefits, while corporations gained influence over cultural norms and political agendas. By mapping consumption onto power and policy, the narrative helps readers see why debates about inequality, public goods, and market morality are inseparable from the everyday acts of work, purchase, and saving. Lastly, the rise of a finance-centered economy and its political consequences. In the later phases of the story, Levy examines how American capitalism increasingly revolved around asset values, shareholder returns, and financial engineering. As manufacturing employment declined relative to services, and as globalization reshaped supply chains, profits and power shifted toward institutions that manage capital flows, price risk, and trade insecurities. The book connects this evolution to policy choices about deregulation, taxation, monetary strategy, and the governance of corporate behavior. It also highlights how households became more directly exposed to markets through pensions, mutual funds, home equity, and credit products, turning personal well-being into a function of interest rates and asset cycles. This change altered political incentives. Protecting financial stability and supporting asset prices could become central goals, even when wage growth lagged. The topic explores how crises in a finance-centered system can spread rapidly and require large public interventions, raising questions about fairness and democratic legitimacy. It also clarifies why inequality can widen when gains accrue to owners of appreciating assets while the costs of volatility fall on workers and borrowers. The result is an interpretation of recent history that links populist backlash, institutional mistrust, and policy paralysis to deep transformations in how capitalism generates wealth. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a big, coherent explanation of how the United States became the kind of economy it is, especially students, policy-minded professionals, and general nonfiction readers who like history that connects politics, finance, and everyday life. It benefits the reader's life by giving a clearer mental model for interpreting news about inflation, interest rates, corporate behavior, labor conflict, and inequality. Instead of treating those issues as isolated headlines, Levy encourages readers to see them as outcomes of institutions that allocate risk and define value. That perspective can improve decision-making, from voting and civic engagement to personal choices about debt, savings, and career planning. The book is worth buying compared to many surveys because it offers an organizing framework of distinct ages that makes long and complex history feel legible while still taking material realities seriously. It also integrates topics often separated in other accounts, such as slavery and finance, consumer life and state capacity, corporate power, and macroeconomic stabilization. Readers looking for a single narrative that explains both the creation of American wealth and the recurring tensions that accompany it will find it a durable reference and a stimulating argument. If you would like to support Jonathan Levy, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.